believers. The church facility will be open from 6 p.m. up until midnight. I think, to my understanding, just before midnight, we will have like a little, it's not like a, don't think of it as a full-on worship, but it may be more like a stripped-down acoustic-type worship. So please feel free to come to church this New Year's Eve if you obviously do not have any other place to go. Just a disclaimer, because this is quite important, no alcohol allowed. I just need to make that clear up front. Without wasting any time, I'd love to hand over to Quinton, as is going to be ministering to us this morning.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. There will be bouncers. Chad will be bouncing. Wonderful. Good morning, folks. Are you well this morning? Wonderful. I just want to say well done to the worship team this morning. I love Jesus-focused worship, don't you? You know, right in the beginning, we sing about how great he is, how majestic he is. He is overall, in all, unshakable. I mean, we can just pack up and go home right now. Make my job a whole lot easier. This morning, folks, it's an absolute privilege to be able to share God's word with you this morning. Right up front, I want to be very vulnerable with you. I had prepared a message and then changed it yesterday afternoon. Oh, cook, the lead elder said. No, purely because, friends, I felt God drop Isaiah 9 verse 7 in my spirit earlier on this week. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And so I've been working on that, meditating, praying through that, formulated a message, and then felt, it's not quite done. And you don't want to come and share something that you not necessarily are happy with. And so I have gone back to a message that I preached a little bit earlier this year. And if you have heard it, please do forgive me. But there is a very much an overlap. As I went back and looked at this, I thought, hang on, I see some overlap and I see some commonality in here this morning. And what I'm going to be preaching about this morning, friends, is that we are called to be those that are peacemakers. Peacemakers. In a world where there seems to be a whole lot of lack of peace, we are called to be peacemakers. And so if I had to ask you, 2024, what does 2024 stand out to be? What was the greatest event, or what was the most common event across 2024? What would you say that would have been? Does anybody throw out some answers? War. Okay, yeah, I suppose, yeah, that's definitely what we have seen throughout this year. Anything else? Excuse me? GNU. Government of National Unity. Absolutely. We have seen that. Anything else? Let's not go there. Let's not go there. So friends, if I had to ask you the most common event across 100 countries, actually more than 100 countries, across 5 different regions, almost all continents in 2024 was what? 2024 was an election year, friends. An election year. Across Africa, across Europe, across the Americas, both North and South America, across Asia, and across the countries that are referred to as the oceanic countries, Australia, New Zealand, all those down there. Almost every single country, friend, had an election. And in many of those elections, friends, the end result, the outcome of the election was not what was expected. Not what was expected. And you can think of some of the ones that have been mentioned, even in our own country. The election result, as much as people thought this is maybe what's going to happen, nobody actually knew that was what was going to happen, friends. And so, as we've seen this election story unfold across the world, if you follow the news, you would have seen that it's produced a lot of fear, it's produced a lot of anxiety, it's produced a lot of disunity. It seems like across the world, friends, things have polarized to an even greater measure than what they were before. If you, like I said, if you follow the news, even to the north of us, straight across the border, friends, there's a country there that at the moment is going through absolute upheaval and turmoil because of an election result. And so this morning, friends, what I want us to have a look at this morning is that into a world that is growing greater is becoming more and more polarized, no matter which continent you're on, no matter what people group, ethnicity, culture you're part of, no matter where you find yourself in life, whether you're in the political realm, whether you're in the business realm, whether you're in the educational realm, even within the family context, friends, we find ourselves pulling apart and not pulling together. And so into the midst of that, I want to read this verse in Matthew 5, verse 9. Now I'm going to read it from a couple of versions this morning, just so that you can hear it emphasized or expressed in different manners. In the NLT version, Matthew 5, verse 9, Jesus says, God blesses those that work for peace. In the NIV version, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are called the sons of God. The ESV version says, the Message version says, you're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's incredible family. Your identity, your function, and your role in the body of Christ. Can I read that again? You are blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are, your place in God's family, your identity, your function, and your role in the body of Christ. This morning, friends, as I said, I want to speak about what it means to be people who are called to reconcile. Those that are called to be peacemakers in this world. I believe, friends, as followers of Jesus, as those that are leaders in society, doesn't matter where you are, whether you're leading your family or whether you're leading the city, we are called to be those friends that pull people together and not allow people to pull apart. Psalm 133, verse 1 to 3, you'll know this verse well. It says this, it says, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard, on the head of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing of life forevermore. And so my encouragement to you this morning, friends, is if you want to live a commanded, blessed life, we need to pursue making unity our goal. You see, friends, the devil understands. And that's why when you flip it back to the script that the world is living at the moment, that's why we see so much disunity. The devil understands that if nations, if people groups and cultures and cities are able to live in unity, they will live under the commanded blessing. The commanded blessing. Not just the, I'm so lucky, or not the haphazard, or maybe it, no, the commanded blessing of God. And so this morning, friends, I'm going to pray, and then I want us just to have a look at some really simple, really practical handles about how you and I can be those that are called to be reconcilers. Is that all right? And so, Father, this morning, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Father, that your word is practical. I thank you, Father, that your word is applicable. We even see, Father, that when Jesus taught, it says the people were amazed. They were amazed because they could take it away and they could apply it to their lives. And so this morning, Holy Spirit, would you do that for us? Would you do that for me? Would you do that for all our friends here this morning, Father? Let your word go to work in our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so friends, my big idea this morning, the sermon big idea this morning, is something along these lines. The blessedness of life that we get to enjoy with God and with one another increases in proportion to the level of reconciliation that we have with one another. You see, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18 to 6 verse 2, it speaks about there's two parts to reconciliation. So I just want to just lay a bit of a foundation around two parts to reconciliation. There's reconciliation that we have first and foremost with our Heavenly Father, right? We need to live in reconciliation with Him. And because we have reconciliation with our Father, we are then able to have reconciliation with one another. And so let's have a look and see what 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18 says. And all this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to himself. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So please note that there's a task that God gave us, and there's a message that he asked us to convey. He gave us this message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. Can you say, God is making his appeal through me? Can you turn to the person next to you and say, God is making his appeal through you? You see, friends, we are the hands and the feet. We are that body of Christ that acts on behalf and fulfills what God is wanting to do in this area of reconciliation, friends. God ultimately did the first work, and we get to continue that into the world. We speak for Christ when we plead, if we go on reading in 2 Corinthians 5. Come back to God, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin. We heard that this morning. So that we could be made right with God through Christ. As God's partners. I want to draw your attention to the chosen description. As God's partners, therefore, we beg you not to accept this wonderful gift of God's kindness and then to ignore it, friends. You see, friends, when I look at that scripture and understand the heart of God, reconciliation has always been the way of the Father. Reconciliation has always been the way of the Father. If we go right back to the beginning of the Bible, the garden in the Garden of Eden, friends, we see that God wanted to, friends, have reconciliation. He wanted to have relationship. He wanted to have intimacy, and he wanted to have partnership. We see God's heart, his intent, right from the very beginning. This was his desire. But then we understand, friends, that sin entered the world. And all of a sudden, there was a separation. And there was a lack of unity. But then we see, friends, that God gave us the law. The law was God's first attempt, friends, at being able to reconcile the relationship that was lost. We then see that God also gave us the Lamb. And that's what we remember this morning in communion. So we see the heart of God, friends, that he gave us the law and he gave us the Lamb, showing his heart for reconciliation, friends. What we understand now as those that are living under the new covenant is that the Lamb was able to fulfill what the law could not fulfill. Jesus on the cross, remember he made the statement, he said, it is finished. On the cross, friends, we have the finished work of reconciliation with the Father. We are able to be fully reconciled to the Father because of the cross, because of Jesus going to the cross. And so we see, friends, that God paved the way. He showed us his heart. He showed us his intent in terms of wanting to be a God that is reconciled with his people. We see, friends, from 2 Corinthians 5 as well, that passage that we read, that reconciliation with the Father can always only be through the Son. There is no other way to be reconciled to the Father except through the Son. I can work as hard as I want to. You can work and try and strive and do all the right things and tithe and do everything that you believe you need to do, but that will never reconcile you to the Father. John 14 verse 6, Jesus made the statement. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so, friends, when we want to be reconciled to the Father, if we are trying in our own strength, in our own effort, in our own cleverness, to be able to find a way back to the Father, that is not going to materialize. It is only through Jesus, friends, that we are reconciled to the Father. Amen. And then lastly, friends, from 2 Corinthians 5, we read there that reconciliation will always be expressed in partnership with God. Reconciliation is both a once-off event, in other words, it's the salvation, that day, that moment that you chose to find Jesus as Savior was the beginning of your reconciliation to the Father. But we see that it is also not just a once-off event, it is also a continuous event, friends. Because Jesus is both Savior and He is Lord. And so we get to work out our full reconciliation, friends, with the Father through accepting Jesus as Savior and making Him Lord in our lives. None of this should be new to any of us. We are called to be reconciled to the Father through Jesus in our daily walk with Him. That is where our reconciliation starts. But it continues beyond that. And this is where the rubber starts hitting the road sometimes. You see, friends, we not only reconcile to the Father, but we reconciled to one another. We need to be able to find means, we need to be able to find ways of reconciling with each other. And even now, I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to some of us, saying, listen, this area, this relationship, this context, you need to go and find reconcile. You need to go and reconcile. We have been given a task. And a task requires some work, friends. And so our primary reconciliation will be with the Father, but it doesn't end there. It flows through to one another. You see, the fruit of a life reconciled to Jesus is that we are empowered and we are able to be reconciled to one another. Outside of Jesus involved, our reconciliation can be temporary. But friends, when we are empowered by Jesus, when we are fully reconciled to Him, we are empowered to live lives where we can overcome barriers. Barriers of disagreement. Barriers, friends, of race, of language, of opinion, of viewpoints, of perspective and outlook on life. We are able to overcome those barriers because, friends, we are empowered by Jesus. Right now, my prayer for many of us here this morning is that you'll be empowered right now. You'll be empowered right now to be able to, after this message, go and make right. Go and make be reconciled. And so, Father, this morning, I do want to pray for folk here this morning, Lord. I pray, Lord, I thank You that, Father, that You enable us, You give us the grace and the ability to do what our flesh is unable to do, Father. Thank You that Your word says, Father, that when we are weak in the flesh, You are strong. Help us, Father, in our time of need, that we would be those that even now, between spouses, between families, between siblings, in communities, Father, that we would go and reconcile in the name of Jesus. And so, friends, I want to remind us that Satan's strategy is to divide. To divide, to kill and to destroy. Jesus, friends, came, we heard it mentioned this morning, to give us life and life in abundance. And so how do we make this practical? How do we get some handles on how to reconcile? Because if anything, friends, by my own experience, it is often something that we know how to do, but are not necessarily good at doing what we need to do. And so I just want to share these four handles with you. We need to recognize, friends, that reconciliation is not a call to compromise truth. Reconciliation is not a call to compromise truth. You see, friends, in this world, there are those that are peacemakers and there are those that are peace keepers. Do we understand the difference? A peacekeeper, friends, is somebody that will keep two warring parties apart. He will find, she will find a way to be able to keep them separate so that there is peace. There is still disunity. There is still a lack of unity, but there is peace. Why? Because they are separated. Jesus said in Matthew 5 verse 9 that we are called to be peace makers. Makers. We are not called to be peace keepers, friends. You see, what I've learned in my own life is when I compromise truth to keep peace, it is very short term. It is very short term. All I end up doing is I end up kicking that can, the can of contention. I end up kicking it further down the road, and guess what? In my walk, I will come across that exact same issue again because, excuse me, somewhere along the line, I have compromised truth in an effort to keep peace. I've been convicted of that, friends. I am not called to be a peacekeeper. I'm called as a son of God, as a daughter of God, to be somebody who makes peace. And we're going to have a look at it a little bit better or a little bit deeper because there's a right way and there's a wrong way to do it, obviously. But that does not detract from the fact, friends, that we are called to sometimes have those difficult conversations. We are sometimes called, friends, to be able to sit down in love with grace and have the necessary conversation. I'm reminded, friends, in John 1, when Jesus was introduced, it says he came from the Father full of grace and truth. Jesus came into the world into a time, bless you, into a time when, you know, many commentators will say that it was probably one of the most difficult times for Jesus to be introduced into the world. There could have been a much easier time for him to come with the good news of the gospel. But Jesus came fully equipped to be able to fulfill what he needed to do because he came from the Father full of grace and truth, friends. And so into a context where we are needing to be able to make peace, understand that we have that same grace and we have that same truth inside of us to outwork that job. Do not sell out for the sake of convenience. It's short term. It's short term. By experience, I can tell you now, it's short term. It'll give you that feel-good feeling today, and then tomorrow, it's back again. Do not sell out for the sake of convenience, friends. I love the NLT version where it says that we need to do the work. The work. It's going to take us getting into the trenches. It's going to take us rolling up our sleeves. It's going to take us getting a little bit dirty if we need to. But we need to do the work, friends, of making peace. We also need to contend for the right things. Contend for the right things, friends. That scripture of Isaiah, it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And so if we are wanting peace, if peace is the end objective, friends, if peace is the outcome, then we don't necessarily pursue peace, but we pursue the governance of God in our lives. Moment of vulnerability. 2 days ago, I was sitting. We had the unfortunate news on the 23rd of December to be told that we are working Christmas Day, we are working Boxing Day. We haven't stopped working. So I went into 2.5 days ago. I went into a bit of a woe is me. You know, how bad is this life? It sucks. That when everyone else is on the beach, I'm sitting in a plantation, because that's what we do, we timber contractors, lumberjacks. I'm sitting working. And I felt the spiral wanting to begin. until I was reminded of the scripture, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And so as much, friends, as society wants to cause us to want to spiral, and situations want to cause us to want to spiral, and it just seems to be getting more difficult and more difficult and more difficult, can I remind us, friends, on the flip side of that, it says of the increase of his government. So in other words, I can choose to put myself in a position where I am governed more and more by the gospel and the way of God. And so I found myself literally telling myself, I sat there, I was on my own, I sat there, and I started saying, no, I take that thought into captivity. I arrest that thought. It is not of God. And I started praying and I started speaking all the things that I know to be true, friends. And can I tell you that as I was reminding myself of what I knew to be true, friends, the peace of God sort of just rushed in. And you might say, yeah, but Quinton, no. In your moment of contention, where you might be tempted to contend for all the wrong things, because I was there 2 days ago, can I remind you, friends, contend for the right things. Contend for the truth of God in your life. Contend for the revelation that you know to be true, because the enemy wants to come and lie and to deceive and to destroy. But if we say no, God's word says 1, 2, and 3. It says of the increase of his government. We don't contend for peace. We contend for godly governance in our lives. God's word, God's way. The byproduct, what flows from that, is God's peace. Contend for the right things. In proportion to God's government in our lives, we will understand either the lack of or the fulfillment of God's peace in our lives, friends. Moving on quickly. Number three. Handle number three. We need to remember, friends, that our fight is not against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6 verse 12, it says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers, and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly realms." Can I remind us, friends, that when we are looking to be peacemakers, we are not fighting the person on the other side of the table. We are not. That is the easy fight, but that is not the right fight. We are fighting, friends, against what Ephesians 6:12 is telling us, the spirit behind a lack of unity. That is our true fight, friends. We need to make sure that we are loving. We need to make sure that we are gracious. We need to make sure that we are kind. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. And as someone did remind us quite a while ago, you are also flesh and blood. And so if you, for some reason, are fighting against yourself, Ephesians 6:12 tells you, stop that fight, because you're fighting the wrong fight. We don't fight ourselves. We don't fight other people. We contend for the right fight. John 13:35 says, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." If we want the community out there, if we want our friends, if we want our neighbors' friends to know that we are followers of Jesus, treat people well, love people well, reconcile with people, and they will see and be convinced that you are truly his disciples. And then lastly, in terms of being able to reconcile, make sure that you're being led correctly. You see, friends, by experience, emotion is a shocking leader. By experience, if we are led by emotion, if we are led by frustration, if we are led by anger, if we are led by disappointment, if we are led by all these things, can I tell you, friends, that we are being led incorrectly? If we go back to the well-worn scripture that we know in Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He will lead me beside peaceful streams. He will lead me to quiet waters. I will be found next to quiet pools." We need to make sure, friends, that we are being led correctly. And so in conclusion, if you don't mind standing. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit just to speak to me, to speak to you, to speak to us, and maybe point out a single or maybe more than one person this morning that right now we need to go and make reconcile with. We need to go and make right with. See, friends, if we want to look forward and say 2025, we want it to be that year where we are experiencing and living in the promises of God. We want to be those people that are blessed, socks off. We want our marriages. We want our jobs. We want our places of work. We want our businesses. We want our city, friends, to live under the commanded blessing of God. It starts with being able to reconcile. And so, Father, this morning, I thank you that you demonstrated the importance of reconciliation. That your Son was sent to the cross, died for every single one of us so that reconciliation could be possible. That's how important it was to you. And so I pray this morning, Father, that we would be those, that we would be people, that we would be men and women that prioritize reconciliation in this season, Father. And that, Father, as we go and make the effort, have the difficult conversations, overcome our own issues to be able to speak to someone or a group of people, I thank you, Lord, that your word says, Father, that as we bring reconciliation, as we find, as unity is restored, that blessing follows. And so we look forward to next year. We trust that next year was going to be a blessed year, Father, because we are reconciling. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Friends, thanks for coming out this morning. You got a word of knowledge? Wonderful. Marilisa just wants to share a word of knowledge quickly.
Morning, everyone. God just revealed to me that someone's struggling with a hernia, and then somebody else, I don't know if it's continuously, but feeling nauseous.
Wonderful. So if that is you, God's drawing your attention to the fact that you're needing prayer or that you're needing His intervention in your life. So please, if that is you this morning, won't you respond in faith? Please come to the front. We'd love to pray with you. Otherwise, please have a wonderful day together. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you soon. Please don't rush off. Enjoy a cup of coffee, and we'll see you soon. God bless.